Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord you're able to join me today. Well, with the Lord's help, we can perhaps finish this message on the spiritual significance of the fifth vision that Zechariah had of the golden candlestick. And I would suggest to you, it refers to the body of Christ, applying it its significance, meaning for us today. Remember in Revelation, the word of the Lord talked about Jesus standing in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. And in verse 10, he says that verse 10, for they shall rejoice and see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro throughout the whole earth. So verse 10 says they are the eyes of the Lord. And perhaps that will remind you of Revelation. Remember the fourth chapter, verse 5, it talks about seven lamps, which are the seven spirits of God. And those seven spirits of God are identified in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 11 and 2. And this is referencing the Spirit of the Lord upon Jesus. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Those are the seven spirits of God. And then in verse 14, we see referenced in this vision the two olive trees, and they're identified as anointed ones. They were appointed instruments designated by God to minister to his people. They were the leadership whom God caused his Spirit to flow through to his people. And even though there is historical and contextual significance, I want to apply it to where we're at today. God's principles are the same. And so under the New Covenant, in New Testament times, he has also given godly leadership. And we find that in Ephesians, the second chapter, the Lord clearly says that he has given, well, we also know it a little bit later in that book of Ephesians, he's given apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. But specifically, the reference I want to refer you to is Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 19 and 20. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And so we see that there's a great significance to these, to the answer to his questions when he asks, who are these two olive trees? In fact, he asks twice in verse 11 and 12, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And the verse 12, he repeats that question, what be these two olive branches? And the Lord just spoke to my heart that this implies, this question that was asked twice, implies a deeper seeking of the Lord. And in doing so, hidden revelation is given. And that's what I believe what Jesus said when he said to seek in prayer. There's a little bit more than implied than just asking. Seeking implies a persistence and a continuing, a perseverance and an endurance. And what we see here is God's theocracy, kingdom principles that he has provided to operate the governance of his body, of his church, because he is a God of order. He's always been that way. That's one of his characteristics. This universe we live in, this world we live in, even science knows that there are natural laws and principles that run its very operation. So we see there's a relation between leadership and witness. In Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, verse 4, the word of the Lord came to the prophet, and he said, I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. God's going to raise up godly leadership. He is going to cause godly under-shepherds to feed the word of the Lord to his flock, and they will allow the pure anointing of the Holy Spirit to flow. They won't choke it off in man-made dogmas and rituals and programs. Beloved, when leadership is strong and godly, this anointing flows to the body. The body are those who are the light bearers, and this is the whole point of the vision, light bearing or witness. Isn't that true? We're talking about a candlestick. That's exactly what Jesus was saying in Matthew 5:14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In John, the 12th chapter, verse 36, Jesus said, while ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. Beloved, all true witness that is effective is done in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. Verse 7, when it talks about the obstacles, who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain. What obstacles, beloved, can stand in the way of God's work if his Spirit empowers all those who seek to do it? Remember what Isaiah said in the 40th chapter, verse 4, every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, every rough place shall be made plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. What God has purposed, what he speaks, is going to come to pass. Shall his word return void? No, beloved, our God is a mighty God, and he shall accomplish this work. There shall be in these end days a glorious outpouring to his church, and praise God, beloved, praise is going to return to the church when Christ is lifted up. It talks about the headstone of the corner. That's none other than Jesus Christ. We shall see the return of the Lord, I believe many do, in our generation. And we who are commencing with the word of the Lord and the work of the Lord shall also, if you will, bring forth the headstone. And this speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the chief cornerstone. Jesus said in Matthew 21 and 42, did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Beloved, he was quoting Psalm 118, verses 22 to 23. Praise, beloved, shall return to the church. God is establishing the tabernacle of David. Christ is being lifted up, and the praise of the Lord, the grace of the Lord shall abound. Now, you might feel at this point, this is just a day of small things. And, you know, that indicates and denotes a time of insignificant beginnings. However, beloved, I believe we're going to see God's word brought into fulfillment. What an exciting time in which we are to live. You know, we don't see, we don't understand God's plan individually in our lives. There is so much God has for us, and we're very limited in what we can see and what we can understand. And some of you have may seen or read that it's a popular poem that is it was written by Grant Tuller, and it talks about the weaver. My life is but a weaving between my Lord and me. I cannot choose the colors. He worketh steadily. Oftentimes he weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget he sees the upper and I the underside. So there's one more verse, or the fourth verse says, the dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned. So we only see things sometimes from the underside, but God sees the full purpose, not only in our individual lives, but in the corporate body of Christ. Only the Holy Spirit can bring this off, can orchestrate this final great movement where all people shall flow together, his body, in one mind, in one spirit, and in one accord. Praise God. What a beautiful concept. What a beautiful work that is done, not by might nor by power, but by the Holy Spirit. And God shall rejoice over this work of his Holy Spirit in grace. Zephaniah 3:17 says, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, and he will rejoice over thee with joy. Beloved, I want you to just be reassured, to be encouraged that God is in control. Where you're weak, he is strong. It's not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit. Just a couple scriptures in closing. Psalm 120 and 1 says, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. And a prayer found in Psalm 51 and 18, do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion, build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Father, we pray that you will be glorified, and you will raise up in this hour a glorious church, that you will cause the members of your body to be brought forth, Lord, with a glory, with a strength, with a purity, surrender into your hands, that they will allow you to fitly place them in the place you have designed them to be. For the Spirit of the Lord would say, my beloved, rest in my omnipotent presence, in my power, in my working, in my knowledge, and in my wisdom. I have not set you on the shelf, but I have reserved you and raised you up for such a time as this. I shall make the way straight before your feet. You shall not be dismayed. You shall not fear, for you shall see the hand of the Lord is with you, and those mountains before you shall be made low, and I shall cause you to walk upon your high places, says the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. May this work be done all for the glory of Jesus. Praise God. Well, this week has just flown by, and I'm excited to see what next the Lord has for us when we gather together. And I invite you, we meet together at the same time every day, Monday through Friday, on this station. God bless you for joining me. Do write those prayer needs. Let me know you're being blessed by the broadcast. I always love to hear from a new family member in Christ. Until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,